Support for the Source Podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In a few minutes, we're going to be discussing a new report from the Texas ACLU looking critically at Operation Lone Star, calling it a failure. But first, groups of anti-migrant vigilantes are operating on the Texas-Mexico border. They're harassing anyone that they suspect of being in the state without legal authorization. Frequently, that means stopping and questioning American citizens, which they have no right or legal standing to do so. A new reporting from the Texas Observer shows that the militias and vigilantes are working in cooperation with border law enforcement and federal immigration officials. The story is border vigilantes are blurring the lines of law enforcement. Armed groups in Arizona and Texas are collaborating and courting police and immigration agents with alarming results. We're joined by the lead reporter on the story, Texas Observer reporter Francisca Denuncio. And Francisca, well, welcome to The Source.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
In broad strokes, tell me about your reporting. What does your reporting contain?
So we found that there are some groups that have very friendly relationships with law enforcement. There's one group in particular that we have followed and investigated called Patriots for America. And they claim to have relationships and have boasted of their relationships or posted photos with sheriffs and public officials from Maverick, Kinney, Valverde, and Uvalde counties. And specifically, they have had on-camera interactions with those law enforcement as well, with the Kinney County Sheriff's Office, even though some people in Patriots for America have passed criminal convictions. And we found similar situations in Arizona, but at the federal level. So there's one vigilante group that recorded itself interacting and handing over drone footage to a Border Patrol agent. And the Border Patrol agent basically said, if you see migrants, we can get them, and indicated that he wanted to continue this friendly relationship with the vigilante, with the group called Veterans on Patrol. Now in Texas, there is also another person with a group called Women Fighting for America. The leader's name is Christy Hutcherson. She has brought a drone to the border in both Texas and Arizona. This was in 2021, and offered drone footage to the Kinney County Sheriff's Office and to two counties in Arizona for free. She flew a drone that has thermal imaging capabilities and can fly miles away from the user. And she would hand the footage to the sheriff's offices for free.
Let me ask you, though, don't these law enforcement agencies have their own drones? Why do they need militia drones?
That's a great question. I don't know the answer. The Kinney County Sheriff's Office, I asked them if they ever entered into a contract with her, and they said they didn't, and that she wanted to charge six figures for drone services, so they ended up buying their own drones after that. But Christy Hutcherson, the leader of this group, Women Fighting for America, did post videos on Facebook where she was with these sheriff's deputies in the car, and where she was using the drone to track migrants, and then they were arrested by the sheriff's office.
Now, you also report in the town of Eagle Pass there have been a lot of migrant activity, and sometimes in the town of Eagle Pass, not exactly right on the river, going into like the Walmart parking lot and harassing people there, just anyone that they think might be there who may have crossed over, but they're harassing American citizens. Is that right?
That's not quite right. I was in Eagle Pass that weekend. That was when a coalition of Republican governors came to Shelby Park for a press conference with Governor Greg Abbott. And it was the same weekend as the Take Back Our Border anti-immigrant convoy, which was in Quemado, which is about half an hour from Eagle Pass. And there was a press conference held by local activists who are against border militarization. And they said That there were people in their community who were in the Walmart parking lot who felt uncomfortable because they saw vigilantes. I don't know if the vigilantes were directly harassing U.S. citizens, but they felt uncomfortable in their parking lot, and that's what a local activist told me.
So there is concerns that these vigilantes working hand in glove with local law enforcement, that it will embolden them, make them feel like the law is on their side, and may become more, I don't know, dangerous. Is that the thought?
Yeah, that is one of the thoughts. I mean, this hasn't happened in Texas in a long time, but in 2009, three vigilantes broke into the house of U.S. citizens and killed two members of a family. That town in Arizona, Aravaca, has since banned vigilantes. Like, the town bar has signs posted saying, like, vigilantes are not welcome here. But people have died because of border vigilantism.
So what's the reaction from law enforcement when you ask them, why are you working with these vigilantes? Some of these people have criminal records. And do they give you a response?
I didn't get a response. I went to the Kinney County Sheriff's Office, and I was able to speak with the chief deputy and the public information officer, and they both said that the Kinney County Sheriff's Office doesn't have any kind of relationship with this vigilante group, and it just appeared that way, but the relationship didn't exist, and I wasn't able to talk to the Uvalde Sheriff. I wasn't able to talk to the Valverde County Sheriff. The Maverick County Sheriff also said they didn't have a relationship, and he'd only met with the Patriots for America leader once for about 20 minutes. There is video of Patriots for America members interacting with a Kinney County deputy, but in Maverick County, I haven't seen anything like that. But there is a lot of footage of Patriots for America in Shelby Park and around town, and it does beg a question. If a vigilante group leader is trying to meet with law enforcement, I wonder if law enforcement is running background checks on members of this group and keeping tabs on them, because vigilantism has resulted in people's rights being violated in the past. And in Arizona, people died because they were killed by vigilantes.
Okay, so we're almost out of time here, but I want to ask you really quickly. In my reporting, when I've gone to Shelby Park and Eagle Pass and I've talked to these vigilantes, they're always disappointed that the reality on the ground doesn't match the pictures that they've seen on Fox News, that they don't see an invasion when they're actually there. Can you respond?
The Women Fighting for America and Patriots for America, in their online social media posts, have not shown any sign of disappointment. They have continued to say things like they're stopping child trafficking, or they see, and other vigilante groups as well have used kind of invasion type rhetoric. And I haven't seen any message of disappointment from them.
All right. So the reporting article is Border Vigilantes Are Blurring the Lines of Law Enforcement. It came out today on the TexasObserver.org website. The reporter is Francesca D'Annunzio. And Francesca, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
When we come back from the break, we're going to be joined by the ACLU of Texas to talk about their latest report, critical of Operation Lone Star. We'll be right back.
Support for TPR comes from La Fonda on Main, honoring the authentic cuisine of interior Mexico since 1932. Open for lunch, brunch, and dinner. More information at lafondaonmain.com.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Governor Greg Abbott and other state officials continue to claim that the state of Texas is being, quote-unquote, invaded along the southern border, and that this is the willful and deliberate act by the Biden administration. They say it's an open border. All this, of course, is false. But Abbott has spent over $11 billion to secure the border himself with Operation Lone Star. But according to a new report from the Texas ACLU, Operation Lone Star is a failure. They say it does not secure the border, but it does terrorize American citizens who do live along the border, and that the rhetoric that Abbott uses is dangerous because of its roots in white supremacy, and it has stoked anti-immigrant resentments in Texas. Who tell us more is Sarah Cruz. She is a policy and advocacy strategist for border and immigrant rights at the ACLU of Texas. And Sarah Cruz, welcome to The Source.
Thank you so much for having me today. Happy to be here.
So, Sarah, tell me about how the $11 billion that Greg Abbott has spent, taxpayer money from Texas, the Texas General Fund, hasn't resulted in securing the border, how Operation Lone Star is a failure.
Yes. Yeah, so Operation Lone Star, again, we have to remember that this is a $11.2 billion program that the state of Texas has started to essentially run its own immigration enforcement program, which is a power that is only for the federal government. And so the program claims to be addressing the flow of drugs and people into Texas. But what we found is that OLS actually, based on the data, and it affirms some things that we already knew about it, but that it actually is really racial profiling and having unconstitutional policing. And what I mean by this is people of color were disproportionately arrested at higher rates, especially in non-border counties. And this is pretty alarming considering that Operation Lone Star is supposed to be a program for the border that is addressing issues that the government claims is having at the border. But also OLS arrests have been primarily people who are arrested for trespassing. So these are low-level offenses rather than drug-related offenses, human smuggling, or even weapon charges. And so one of the other kind of alarming things about this was that even though a majority of the arrests were misdemeanor trespassing, those who did commit some of the more severe offenses, such as drug-related offenses, human smuggling, and those weapon charges, were U.S. nationals rather than people arriving at the border.
The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Our phones are open. If you've got a question or comment about Operation Lone Star, about the so-called crisis on the border, what you've been told, what you have seen, we want to hear from you, 833-877-8255. You can also send us an email to thesource@tpr.org. So, sir, I mean, you bring up a really great point there, and I want to dig into it. And so you're getting your information how? How do you know these things?
Yeah, so the way that we were able to do this report, and so this report is all based on data that we received directly from state agencies. So we did public information requests to two agencies that are very central to the arrest detainment aspect of Operation Lone Star, and that's the Department of Public Safety, the Texas Department of Public Safety, and the Office of Court Administration. So this is data that's coming directly from these two agencies through public information.
And to the point that you make, and I want to highlight this, that much of the fentanyl arrest and the weapons arrest and the arrests that are happening on the border that are not misdemeanors, many of these, and you're like in the 90 percentile, this is American citizens.
Yes, we characterize it as U.S. national because that's how the data was provided to us, and that's how it was categorized. But yes, so for drug-related charges, drug-related offenses, human smuggling, and weapons charges, that was overwhelmingly U.S. nationals. I think if we even break it down a little bit further, and you can see that also in the report. So the percentage of arrests the percentage of appearances in court for drugs that were U.S. nationals were 86%. For weapons, 90%. And then for smuggling, 76%. So U.S. nationals made up those significant percentage of these offenses.
And they were arrested by Operation Lone Star, or were they arrested through local law enforcement and then Operation Lone Star? I've seen how the Operation Lone Star will take credit for arrests that it didn't actually participate in. Is that happening here?
I'm not entirely sure because the this information did come from the Texas Department of Public Safety. So these are arrests that DPS has been keeping track of. So, but I think one thing that I did want to point out to, now that you're mentioning that DPS taking credit for other arrests, is one of the other findings that we had here was that the data was inconsistent between these two central agencies or these two agencies that have been facilitating this aspect of the program. For example, that means DPS reported a total of 38,030 arrests, while the Office of Court Administration only reported 13,306 people appeared before a magistrate under Operation Lone Star. So there's about a 25,000 difference between these two numbers. And in short, we don't know why that's happening.
But if someone is coming across the border through a port of entry and then, you know, they go through U.S. Customs and through a Border Patrol inspection, and if they're found to have contraband like fentanyl or something on them or weapons, then that arrest, is that counted by, is that turned over to DPS?
I don't believe so, but something that I do want to also mention about this is we don't really have any clear indication of who or why DPS categorizes certain offenses under Operation Lone Star. We don't know. We don't know if this is different definitions in their tracking or there's really nothing in the data that can indicate to us what DPS categorizes as these Operation Lone Star arrests. It's just, that's
Yeah, and that gets into the heart of the issue here is that so much of what Operation Lone Star does, what they take credit for, how they operate, is all very murky and dark, and there's a complete lack of transparency about the way that it's supposedly, you know, keeping the border secure. Is that true?
Yes, and there's also another aspect of Operation Lone Star and this arrest and incarceration aspect is that this is an entirely sort of different system that people are funneled into when they are arrested under Operation Lone Star. What I mean by that is there's separate court dockets. There are separate tent facilities where you're magistrated, and those are just dedicated to Operation Lone Star, as well as the facilities where people are held after they're arrested. Those are also just for Operation Lone Star. So this is this entirely separate criminal legal system that they've created under Operation Lone Star.
All right, we'll get into all that, but let's go to a caller. The number is 833-TPR-TALK, 833-877-8255. We have JD on the line, and JD, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. My comment is that quite a few Texans, and I'm a native-born Texan. I've lived here most of my life, except when I was in the Navy. But anyway, I love being a Texan. I love the culture. But a lot of these people are talking about seceding from the Union. Well, I think President Biden should give them some shock therapy, maybe stop sending billions of dollars to Abbott to support the border wars or whatever they want to call it and see what happens then. See if Abbott is the governor for much longer if that happens. Just maybe instead of sending money, send paper towels.
JD, thank you for your call. I appreciate that. To the point that JD makes about Governor Abbott challenging Biden over the sovereignty of the border. Okay, we've seen these lawsuits about the border buoys and about the razor wire and all these other things. And Abbott has directly challenged the president and the authority of the president over who controls the border. And so Sarah Cruz, do you see that kind of related?
I do, and this is also in the context of one of the most recent laws that the state has passed, and this was their effort to continue, or basically codifying Operation Lone Star, but also their intention to continue enforcing immigration policy at the state level or immigration enforcement at the state level. And that was SB4, which would basically anybody who entered Texas unauthorized would be charged with illegal entry or illegal reentry. So this is something that the state has been doing for some time and is continuing to ramp up. And we've seen that all across the border. And even, I mean, in our communities, very much, it's apparent where that Operation Lone Star is already here. It's really embedded in the community, unfortunately. And but at the end of the day, we have to remember that it is an unconstitutional way that they're doing it, because this isn't the power of the state. This is something that is the power of the federal government.
All right. So we'll restore our connection with Sarah in a couple of minutes. But, you know, the American Civil Liberties Union of Texas and ACLU and ALICS have published their report that they say reveals Governor Greg Abbott's state immigration enforcement program, Operation Lone Star, has failed in its mission. The $11.2 billion program was created in 2021 to, as they say, to prevent migrants from allegedly bringing drugs and crime into Texas from across the border. But the state's own data indicates that that is not happening and that is not the case. The reporting shows that much of the contraband, drugs, and crime that's coming across the border is actually coming across through the involvement of American citizens and not foreign nationals, not people who are coming from other countries. The report shows that the unconstitutional operation of Operation Lone Star is unconstitutional because it challenges the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution. The Constitution directly lays out that is the federal government that is responsible for maintaining the borders. But the unconstitutional operation is primarily racially profiling and arresting people who pose no threat to public safety, and then forcing them into separate and unequal criminal legal systems, including a separate prison system, a separate court system, a separate public defender system, in which these people, they receive like a complete different system, which in itself is questionable if that is constitutional and if that will hold up to federal scrutiny. The report is titled Operation Lone Star, Misinformation and Discrimination in Texas Border Enforcement. We do have a link to that on our website at tpr.org. It analyzes arrest data from the Texas Department of Public Safety and court data from the Office of Court Administration of the Texas Judicial System, and it finds lots of discrepancies that raise questions. Operation Lone Star receives no legislative oversight. There is no accountability. There are no audits. It is a black hole. Where does the money go? How is it being spent? How are the contracts being administrated? And who gets the money? With $11 billion on the table, you have to be asking some tough questions, but no one is asking them. And no, certainly we're not getting very many answers. We're going to come back and continue our conversation with Sarah Cruz from the ACLU of Texas right after this break. Stay with us.
Gaza has caused divisions all over the world, including between American Jews.
I feel as a rabbi, a huge pastoral job to hold their hand through that moment and also guide them towards that compassionate light.
Hear how some synagogues are working towards compassion for everyone suffering from the conflict. On All Things Considered from NPR News.
The EarthX 2024 Environmental and Sustainability Congress of Conferences is happening in Dallas, April 22nd through the 26th, bringing together all sides with one important mission: protect our planet. For info, earthx.org.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies, back with our guest, Sarah Cruz, policy advocacy strategist for border and immigrant rights at the ACLU of Texas. They released a new report yesterday, Operation Lone Star, Misinformation and Discrimination on the Texas border, in Texas border enforcement. So misinformation, that word leaps out at me, Sarah. What misinformation are we talking about?
I think one of the biggest misinformation about Operation Lone Star is actually what it's doing and that it's achieving things. So Operation Lone Star claims, or at least the governor claims, that this is addressing a supposed problem of people arriving at the border bringing drugs and crime and human smuggling into Texas. And, you know, based on this data, we've proved that this is really not the case, and that really the vast majority of people who are being arrested under this enforcement operation really pose no security threat, and really that the small number of people who do are U.S. nationals.
I mean, we hear a lot of misinformation about what's happening on the border. We're saying that these are military-age men who are coming across. This isn't an invasion. This is a secret operation that they're going to reach a critical mass here in the United States, and they're going to launch some sort of attack. Also, we're hearing that this is – and this is – somebody told me this the other day. I was at a Republican political event, and the guy says, you know, those people are – Biden is registering all those people – he used some derogatory term – who are coming across – registering them to vote so he can steal the election. There's a lot of misinformation wrapped up into what's happening on the border, and it's no accident. You know, this is something that they can get a lot of political currency from. This is what motivates their base. But, you know, how are we going to get, you know, the facts that are on the ground that have been established that the ACLU of Texas is verifying and vetting? You know, why isn't that, you know, do you see a disconnect between what you see, what is happening, and what's being told in these right-wing channels?
I mean, one of the things that Operation Lone Star has been able to achieve is its political theater. It's a political tool for the state of Texas to continue targeting and arresting and to unconstitutionally enforce immigration. But they're doing that through this program and continue to conflate immigration and migration at the border with drugs and crime. And we know, I mean, even based on the state's own data, just using data and basic facts here of what we were able to find, that refutes a lot of what, one, the state claims it's doing, and the claim that they say is happening, or the claim they say is the problem at the border. And we're using the state's own data to refute that.
But your report does say that this Operation Lone Star has its roots in white supremacy. Can you tell me more?
Yeah, Operation Lone Star in itself has just really been used by the state to again, target and arrest mostly people of color on trespassing arrests, but they've also used Operation Lone Star as very inflammatory, and like you mentioned, of all the things that, you know, you see as opposed to what's actually really happening. And like I mentioned, this has been really good political theater for the governor, but this has been really harmful for communities just in general. And we all can point back to the horrific tragedy that happened in Abasso a few years ago. And this has been largely through the rhetoric of the state really demonizing what is people who are arriving at the border. And we know that to not be true, that there people arrive at the border for a number of reasons, whether it's asylum, to reunify with their family. And so increasing this anti-immigrant sentiment has been so harmful for communities.
Right. So you mentioned the 2019 mass shooting at the El Paso Walmart by a white nationalist. So, you know, it stands to reason that's why people in Eagle Pass who would go to their local Walmart, they were very nervous when there was a convoy of militia people in town that weekend. They were, you know, definitely afraid for their lives. They had no idea what to expect on that. But this idea that, you know, that Operation Lone Star is necessary to secure the border, $11 billion being put into this program, but with little to no legislative oversight. There is no audit. There is no accounting for where these $11 billion end up. Should at the very least, should the state of Texas hold the Operation Lone Star to the same standards that it would any other program?
100%. That's actually one of our recommendations in the report, is with this difference in the data alone and giving no indication of why there's differences in these data, one of our recommendations is to ensure that the program is transparent and accountable to Texans and policymakers by improving this data collection and reporting for Operation Lone Star to give us, we're only getting a picture of what is happening through this program, through this data alone. But this is taxpayer money that is going to, this is $11.2 billion taxpayer dollars.
That's a lot of money. We're told we can't,
we can't
fund our schools, but this?
Yes. And the way that, you know, one of the ways that the state has been able to do this is by abusing these local and state disaster declarations. And that allows them to access any resources to address what is considered a disaster, in this case, what the governor considers a disaster. And there's really no mechanism, or there's really no indication of what needs to happen for this program to sunset. There's no objective. There's no end goal. It's just $11.2 billion and counting to a program that we don't even know when it's going to end. So it's just become a vast waste of resources and those taxpayer dollars, like you mentioned, that could go to other community needs.
So your report also looks at Shelby Park in Eagle Pass. Shelby Park was a city park that fronted along the Rio Grande, and that Operation Lone Star took over the park, and they claimed the park as the mayor's private property, and then they were able to arrest people for trespass, even though they were in a public park. And then that fell through. They couldn't do that because it'd be obviously, clearly it was a sham. But the fact that they would attempt to do something so overtly twisted and warping the law for their own ends, does that, you know, raise eyebrows at the ACLU of Texas?
100%. That was something that we looked at. And if you go down to Shelby Park, you'll see the National Guard there. It doesn't even look like a park upon approach. It looks like you're going to some sort of base. You see the trucks, the National Guard trucks, and they're really just staged there. So there's not really a lot of access to the park. And there's a really awesome community organization called the Eagle Pass Border Coalition, and they have monthly vigils there. And so that's really disrupted their services, but also disrupted, you know, this is supposed to be a public park for the community to enjoy. And now they don't have that anymore. And this is because of Operation Lone Star and because of what the state is trying to do or trying to accomplish, even though there's no stated goal that they have to accomplish.
So what is the authority that is used to just say, we're going to take over this public park? I mean, how does the governor manage to do that?
A lot of it, again, is through these emergency disaster declarations. So when the program was started, or when the enforcement operation was started back in 2021, the governor issued a disaster declaration and has been renewing that monthly since then. So this is 3+ years of a disaster declaration. And as that has gone on, there's been more counties that have been added to that. And so through these disaster declarations, they're able to access basically any and all state resources in order to address their claimed disaster. And in a real disaster, you know, this is useful. You know, we've seen in, I think in Houston right now, how, yes, that might be useful to access.
Yeah, but
more
it's a disaster. It's a natural disaster. The winds killed people.
Mm-hmm. But this is entirely not. Migration is not a disaster. It is not an invasion the way that the state, this is migration. Migration has always happened. It will continue to happen. And we can address it humanely and not through the different aspects or different, you know, ways that the state is trying to do this.
But these communities like Eagle Pass or Del Rio, I mean, these are, you know, they're stressed communities to begin with. You know, they're low income. They don't have a lot of money for public services. Are they getting any of this $11 billion to improve local hospitals and community services?
So the way that when cities or when localities are added to these disaster declarations, they have to issue their own disaster declaration in order to be eligible to receive that Operation Lone Star funding. But it largely goes to law enforcement as opposed to we'll build a new road or, you know, we'll improve the water infrastructure. It's going to law enforcement. And that's and I think that's been a lot of the frustration is, we already have border patrol in our communities. We have had border patrol in our communities for
as long as I can remember. People say they're over-policed.
Yes.
All right, we're going to take a break here. We're going to come back, and our phone lines are open. You got a question or a comment? Do you think Operation Lone Star is a boom or a bust for Texas? 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Source continues right after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With me on the line, Sarah Cruz, Policy and Advocacy Strategist for Border and Migrants' Rights at the ACLU of Texas. Yesterday, the ACLU of Texas released a report, Operation Lone Star, Misinformation and Discrimination in Texas Border Enforcement. Sarah, I've been online watching the Texas Republican Convention over the past couple of days, watching their legislative priorities and their platform debates and things. And they keep pushing to the top of the list of their priorities, border security. This is something that they are still convinced that it is a priority for the state of Texas. There have been a couple of people who have stepped up to the mic and saying, you know, this is a lot of money. What are we getting for this? And, you know, why are we, you know, having to pay so much money for this issue? But overall, they want to increase border security. This is what they're saying at this Republican state convention here in San Antonio this week. They want a state border force, and this is part of their legislative agenda. So, at least with the people who are the our most ardent supporters of the Republican agenda in Texas, this is what they think is important. What would you tell them?
I mean, we can immediately point to the billions and billions and billions of dollars that have already been allocated to border security at the federal level, because, and is a reminder again, that this is a power of the federal government, and someone phrased something really good for me a while back that, like, if you're wanting to make your point, saying it louder isn't going to make a difference. And for me, that's how it feels with border security, or we're continuing to fund and fund and fund, and it doesn't seem to solve whatever issue the government is trying to solve. And the really the only way is going to be expanding pathways at the border and allowing people to seek asylum as at ports of entry, as opposed to pushing them further or trying to restrict that. And that's where we get, you know, the people going in through more horrific and dangerous routes because we're pushing people back.
Yeah. So it seemed like the entire premise that is being used to justify the Operation Lone Star is really based on a couple of wrong ideas. Like, they're not really clear about how a border operates. They don't really understand how migrants are able to access asylum claims, and the fact that our immigration system is fundamentally broken and overwhelmed. But attempts in Washington, D.C. to remedy that are being blocked by Republicans, who, even when these attempts to fix that are not being yoked to a pathway to citizenship. Okay, we're at a point now where we just want to fix the border, but still we're getting Republican leaders saying we don't want to do that. Yet here we are in Texas at the Republican State Convention, them arguing they want to spend more billions of dollars of taxpayer dollars from Texas to fix a problem that doesn't really need to be, can be fixed in other ways if it's a problem at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that accurate?
I mean, 100%. Again, we have Border Patrol that is already in our communities enforcing immigration as well as ICE agents. We don't need another police force that's enforcing immigration. And this also causes an issue. This would cause confusion for to now have a state police on top of having a border patrol at the federal level already. And then I think it also went into, if we even look at SB4 and what the state says that they would do under SB4, and this was their most recent, I think, counting of or what they would do. They said that they would arrest people and then take them to a port of entry and then allow the federal government to decide. And so that sounds like such a wasteful way to even go through this process of now we're going to enforce immigration, but not really, because we're just handing people to the federal government. And that's something that's already possible in Texas and in the United States. There's ICE detainers where people are transferred. Again, it's just really remembering that this is the power of the federal government, and this is not in the Constitution for the state to run its own immigration enforcement.
Now, your party report, Operation Lone Star, Misinformation, Discrimination in Texas Border Enforcement, you're calling for less cruelty. You're pointing out that there is a lot of cruelty in the way that Operation Lone Star operates. There have been whistleblowers who have said that they have been people on the National Guard been told to push people back into the river, not provide first aid, not provide water during the hottest parts of the year. So what do you mean? What are your reporting about cruelty?
Well, I think one of them is also prohibiting or restricting people's ability to exercise their human right to seek asylum. So when people, one of the claims has been that when individuals arrive at the border, again, because they're unable to do it at a port of entry, they're being arrested prior to even having the opportunity to turn themselves into Border Patrol. And this is a human right to asylum, but there are other aspects of Operation Lone Star that has been equally as cruel. And we can point to the buoys, and we can point to the concertina wire that has led to drowning, that has led to people being injured at the border and being forced to wait there for hours because they're not being assisted by federal agents. And so there's so much cruelty that happens with Operation Lone Star. And I think another one, there's also a really great report on it, is the vehicle pursuits that have led to dozens of deaths.
Or the high-speed chase policies that they have, which lead to these crashes into other people on the road, and the law enforcement is creating a hazardous situation, and yet when people die, they blame the migrants for it.
Yes, which is truly frustrating.
So your reporting also in this report talks about how Operation Lone Star is not contracting. It is expanding into other counties, even counties that are further away from the border. So what are you seeing?
So one of the things that we saw was that there were, I think, approximately 13,600 arrests that occurred in non-border counties. And some of these are hundreds of miles away from the border, from the nearest port of entry. I even looked yesterday at a map of one of the states or one of the counties that has issued a disaster declaration for Operation Lone Star, and they're, I believe, they border with Oklahoma. So Operation Lone Star and the entities that continue to perpetuate its violations is continuing to grow over the years. And I mean, a lot of it may be due to the funding, but we don't know unless, I mean, we have those conversations at the local level.
Well, they get local county judges and sheriffs. Mm-hmm. They say, we need Operation Lone Star here, mm-hmm. and it allows them to apply for grants from the state of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they get more money for local law enforcement. But you document that they have no arrests in these places.
Yes, I believe it was 18 counties out of the 63, if I'm not mistaken, have had no arrests under Operation Lone Star. But the thing is, this is supposed to be a program that's addressing perceived issues at the border and is expanding even farther than the border. And so this is not a border program. This is a state immigration enforcement program.
Well, we do hear from ranchers in Texas, and they're complaining about migrants who are jumping their fences and then leaving trash in their land, and they're mad about the trash. This is a complaint I hear a lot, but I don't think that spending $11 billion because people are littering seems like a good use of funds.
No, and also I think we can point to, if we were expanding more pathways for people to migrate to the United States, or even allowing people just to make asylum claims and seek asylum at ports of entries regularly without CBP, just, you know, regardless of having a CBP1 appointment, we could do that, and we don't have to, and we wouldn't be forcing people to take these routes outside of ports of entry.
So you have recommendations: repeal enhanced trespassing penalties, return local parks like at Shelby Park and Eagle Pass, stop abusing emergency disaster declarations. But, I mean, this is the bread and butter. This is what keeps Operation Lone Star going. I don't see how that's going to, you know, that Greg Abbott is suddenly going to have an epiphany. It's this program, but he gets a lot of great publicity on Fox News for. I mean, he's not going to take it down.
No, and I think that's why we're trying to say here that we need to stop, one, abusing the disaster declarations, our main recommendation is to end the program in its entirety and to repurpose those funds to actual needs.
But, so are you making a direct appeal to Texans saying, take a look at this program? Do you think you're getting your money's worth out of Operation Lone Star?
Well, I think for the public, if the ask would be to, yes, look at this program, look at the needs in your community that could be addressed using even a fraction of this funding, and what could that funding have done for your community that is actually being used to target and arrest people for low-level offenses, and to take those into account, I think would be really important, but also a plea to the government to end Operation Lone Star for good.
Sarah Cruz is a policy and advocacy strategist for border and immigrant rights at the ACLU of Texas. Their report, Operation Lone Star, Misinformation, Discrimination in Texas Border Enforcement. A link to that is on our website. Sarah Cruz, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, David.
And that's The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted and produced by David Martin Davies. Kayla Padilla is our booking and engagement producer. Engineering support from Ruben Garcia, Jesse Reeves, and Steve Short. Dan Katz is TPR's Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.